This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. I'm not mysterious. I understand that. That's one of the things I'm not.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, my word.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We better wake our tails up. Every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at.
I just don't know if the Bears fans are going to be like, okay.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, 16-year NFL veteran Ron Jaworski, ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes. Coming up, Browns running back Nick Chubb, plus actor David Boreanaz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, we've already had a great 2 hours of this show. Mina Kimes on the program, Ron Jaworski on the program. We also had quite a debate about would you prefer if your team is involved in a big game to have your team blown out or lose right at the end in heartbreaking fashion. I've chosen the heartbreaking fashion. I'd rather be in it to win it and love than and lost than never having loved at all. And Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson say, you know, they'd rather get blown out, snap the television off and be done with it. Save themselves the heartache. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Mina was also on because not only is she a big Seahawks fan, and the Seahawks won last night, and we had Ron Jaworski on because we talked about the Eagles, and David Boreanaz of CBS's SEAL team will join us in a second to talk about the Eagles. It's his team as well. Mina also won $1 million as a phone-a-friend for David Chang on the Celebrity Millionaire. And led me to say, who would be my phone-a-friend? Either my brother Jeff would be or Jeremy Shapp. And for the purposes of this show, more people know who Jeremy Shapp is than my brother Jeff. So, and plus, my brother Jeff has never alphabetized dollar bills in his wallet based on the letter associated with the mint where it was printed.
He also
doesn't know the succession of British royals off the top of his head or vice presidents off the top of his head like Jeremy Shapp. Who's going to be? We're going to phone him later on this hour.
Fantastic.
Fun with Jeremy.
Fantastic.
But right now, this gentleman is dynamite, and he has been dynamite ever since he's come off the campus at Georgia. And he is here as part of the Snickers Hungriest Player campaign because he's just been dominating, and he took care of business now for the 8-3 Cleveland Browns. He is Nick Chubb. How are you, Nick?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. Boy, you are just crushing it, Nick. And I'm wondering how things have changed from this year to last for you so far.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, the fun's all in the winning. That's what we've been doing here. So having a lot of fun this year, you know, way more fun I've had the past 2 years here. Getting things done. I think it definitely started with the coaches. I think Coach Stefanski has done a great job proving himself as a leader, and we're all following him. And he just instilled inside of us the only way to win is to work, and that's what we're doing now. And, you know, yeah, we have a lot of fun winning games. Got to keep it going.
Well, let's. I'd like to pull on that thread a little bit here that you just mentioned about the coaches. How has the Stefanski staff been different?
Well, I think just for the most part, they all came in. They're all together. They're all one unit working together, coaching us. And I think the team definitely follows them, and we understand what Coach Stefanski wants. He wants us to be a team and nothing else. He wants us to play for each other and to go out there and practice hard every day and do everything right. And it definitely leads to victories on Sundays.
Well, he also likes to run the football too, doesn't he, Nick Chubb? He likes that.
Yeah, he does like to run the football.
And you do as well. 3 straight 100-yard games, Nick. What's happened in the last 3 weeks, do you think, for you?
Yeah, it's definitely been crazy because 3-4 weeks ago, I was out. I had a knee injury, and I was pushed right back into it, right into the fire. And for me, it was definitely more mentally than physically. I knew that my knee was right, but to go out there and actually get hit in the knee and get
We just lost Nick Chubb. All right, he'll call us back. We'll call him back right here on the show. Let's sneak in a phone call before he gets back on. Our buddy Matt Neenan in Oklahoma wants to chime in on his on this subject. I knew the our resident Buffalo Bills fan would want to chime in on the rather he get blown out or heartbreaking, and he's been on both sides. So what do you got for me, Matt?
Well, first off, Brockman's spoiled. That's his problem. He's never really been blown out. And how is TJ a Cowboys fan when he grew up in Philadelphia? Did he not? Pennsylvania.
Well, I think no, I know that, but you know, you grow up around a bunch of people who are rooting for one team that you don't feel.
I'd rather be in it to win it. I've had my heart broke both ways so many times as a Bills fan and as a Sooners fan. I mean, I'm competitive. Give me the shot at the end. I don't want to be watching those Super Bowls playing against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
We got blown out. We're horrible. I live in Oklahoma. They're surrounded by poacher Cowboy fans. It was horrible, 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 horrible. You don't ever want to get blown out. Anybody that says that's a liar. If Brockman's playing a pickup game, he doesn't want to get blown out. He wants the ball with the last shot to win.
Yeah, but that wasn't the question, Matt. That wasn't the question. It's knowing the result. If you already know that it's a loss coming, do you want to get blown out or do you want to have your heart ripped out?
No, I'd rather have my heart broke. At least I'm in it at the end, and I'm not sitting back like a poacher saying, oh, we're going to lose. I'll turn the TV off and I'll go watch something else. No, you go down with your team, man. You go down.
Okay. That's the way I feel. Well, the same.
We
way.
Are
Thanks
going
call,
down Matt. With our yeah. team.
I mean, no, Matt brought up pickup games. It's like in a pickup game, at least I can control something. Right. I can't control anything when I'm watching on TV. Yeah.
Again, you never know the result. Even in the construct of you know the result, I would much rather have the opportunity. Because even knowing the result, I would sit there in the same way that I watch, you know, Miracle, the movie Miracle, and I'm like nervous. Maybe it'll be a different ending.
I think
maybe Chris Webber won't call timeout. You know, I'd rather, again, that happen than North Carolina blow us out. And I think, oh, the Fab Five, they were Fugazi the whole time. No, at least we knew the Fab Five was for real. Kid made a small, a big, but he made a rookie mistake. I'd rather it be that way.
I think we've got to take the knowing the result out of it, though.
Let's get Nick Chubb back here. He's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Nick, you were talking about things being different last 3 weeks because what? Were you thinking about it when you were out there with your knee injury?
I thought about it before the first play, but after I got tackled, it was great as ever, and I knew I was back to normal. And after that, I mean, I just took off. And the past 3 weeks, I have been great. I mean, I think our O-line has done a great job blocking. Everybody's done a great job in the run game. And yeah, we're over 100 yards a game. Last 3 games, I've been back. So things have been great.
How about Baker? As he's gone 4 straight games without an interception, first time in his career. How has he improved from your perspective, standing right next to him all the time?
Yeah, Baker's great. I mean, he's definitely improved a lot. And I think one thing that he's definitely proud himself in over the last week is no turnovers. He's doing a great job taking care of the ball. He's doing a great job making plays for us. I mean, he's definitely part of his offense. And he makes it go.
So, you know, the concept for the Browns is simple, I guess. Just run the ball. Don't turn it over. Let the defense go to work. You guys are 8-3. What are you saying in the locker room about what you can do this year, 2020? What are you guys talking about when you get around there?
Hey, we're trying to get better every day. I mean, the games we have won, I mean, I feel like we could have done better in all of them. I feel like we definitely left yards on the field, points on the field. And I feel like every unit, offense, defense, especially, we all can say that we can improve, we can get better. But, I mean, it is signs of a good team to still win and not play its best. So I think we are still heading in the right direction, but it's still so many things we can clean up, and that we still have more potential to be an even better team.
No doubt, but what do you think? I mean, you know, coming up, you've got games against Baltimore. You've blown out in Week 1. I'm sure you'd like to show what you can do there. You're going to be on the same field as Derrick Henry the week before that. Pittsburgh at the end of the year. I mean, you have a shot here to make some considerable hay and win some playoff games. Are you talking about that right now, Nick?
Yeah, it's very true, but we're going to take it 1 week at a time. We're going to start with the Titans. That's definitely a huge challenge for this team. I'm sure everybody's watching because the worry right now is that we can't beat, you know, the great teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we here and we know that. So, I mean, it's a great time, great chance for us to prove can play with a great team.
And how about being on the same field as Derrick Henry the way that he's playing too, Nick? I mean, what is that challenge for you, knowing that you're going to be going in a game against a guy who's just been punking everybody and going through the whole last few weeks? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great. I mean, definitely a good challenge for me and Kareem to say that we can't be as great as, you know, Derrick Henry. And I'm sure everybody will be headlines and all that. But, I mean, I'm just going to do what I always do. I'm going to go out there, trust him, believe in myself. I'm going to play hard for my team.
Nick Chubb here on the Rich Eisen Show. Interesting moments ago, you said the team can get better and that there's always room for improvement. You actually used the phrase leaving points on the field. Nick, I think you know something particular about that, leaving points on the field. Stepping out of bounds. Stepping out of bounds with you having an opportunity to put the ball in the end zone. In terms of, you know, the actual game, sealed it for your team. Smart move. What about fantasy football players, Nick? Did you hear about that from anybody, Nick?
Oh, I heard all about it. my social media DMs. Yeah, people were mad.
Come on. Really? They were mad about it.
Yeah. They were mad. They all care about fantasy. They're fantasy owners and all that jazz. I mean, I really don't keep up with fantasy, and I didn't know the line. It was a 3-3.5 game point spread or something like that. I had no idea.
So well, that's good.
I found out about all of it after the game.
But at what point in your run down the field did you know, I'm going to run out? I'm not scoring. I'm going to run out of bounds right here. At what point did
you know? I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know to that 10-yard line. It's just instinctive. Like, when I break like that, to go score. That's the first time I've ever, like, not scored. So I didn't even think about it until I was pretty much all the way down there. And I didn't want to like, stop because I didn't know somebody was behind me, pushed me in or stripped the ball. So I just kind of made a left turn and went out of bounds. That's how it happened. Wow. It's not much time to think.
No, I know. It's instinctive. A fellow Georgia Bulldog this year, Todd Gurley, even when, you know, instructed by – you know, his quarterback or telling the whole huddle, Matt Ryan did against the Lions, don't score even if you have a chance, and he just couldn't help. I mean, those things happen. So I'm wondering if you seeing that helped you lend perspective to stepping out of bounds in that spot.
A little bit. I didn't really have time to think that much about it, but right. I definitely saw that because our coach, he does this thing where before every week he tells him like what's going on around the league so we can learn from. You know, the good and the bad of games happening in the NFL. So that definitely came up. And I did notice it, how, you know, Ty, he tried to stop, but my mental carried him forward. So I didn't even want to be in that situation. Somebody behind me could push me in because the ball has to cross the goal line. That's it. That's
right.
A touchdown. So I just made a left and went out of bounds to prevent any of that from possibly happening.
Now, I know Baker's very confident and confident in his abilities as well as the team. Was he confident enough to tell you in the huddle 59 yards away, don't score? Did he tell you that? Before handing the ball on that run.
Well, he didn't say that, but we have a code word that let us know when to score and when not to.
Oh, okay.
So I heard that word, and I was like, yeah, all right.
What do you?
I didn't remember it until I was already down there.
Nick Chubb here in the Rich Eisen Show. What do you say to the narrative everyone thrown out there that you're a better team without Odell? What do you say to that, Nick?
Nah, I definitely don't believe that. I mean, if we're a good team now, we've been way better with Odell because he's electric. I mean, you can't replace his talent, and he's really a great player.
And then Jarvis just did Jarvis Landry stuff that we're used to seeing now that he's fully healthy. What was he like in the huddle in that game? He must have been hyped out of his skull in that game, Nick.
Oh, 100%. It was also his birthday, his golden year. He's 28 on the 28th. Well, the day before that. So, yeah, he was feeling it, and he was looking good. I mean, that ball was close anywhere near him. He was catching it, and it was definitely amazing to watch.
All right, Nick, before I let you go, you got the chain? Do you have the Snickers chain this week? Did you get it?
Yes, sir. Okay. I got it.
What does it look like? Describe it to me. I've heard others describe it, but I'd love to hear what your take is on it, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It was made by Ben Baller. He made the same one last year. I mean, the first thing I noticed, how shiny this pretty was, and then I picked it up, and this thing was heavy, like really heavy.
Well, I mean, the others who have won it this year, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, another Chubb, Bradley Chubb, Tyler Lockett, A.J. Brown, Dalvin Cook, Kyler Murray, Devontae Adams. You're in very good company, Nick Chubb. You're in very good company.
Yeah, I know. I saw the list. I was in great company. And all those guys are ballers, so I'm happy to be right there with them.
Who was your running back growing up who you're like, I want to be like him. I want to get to the NFL and run like him. Who is that guy, Nick, for you?
Honestly, I didn't really have like one guy who I always watched. I mean, I can give you like the answer everybody gives me. Everybody was an Adrian Peterson fan. It's still crazy that I watched him in high school and now I'm playing with him. But yeah, I mean, Adrian Peterson was great. Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode. I enjoy watching all those guys.
Okay. I don't want Terrell Davis to get pissed off, you know, so you got to throw some Georgia in there too, right? Or actually, if you want to piss off Terrell Davis, say Hines Ward was your running back growing up. That's the way.
Oh, yeah, he went like that.
That's the guy, you know, that's the guy. All right, thanks for the call, Nick. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's Nick Chubb. Everybody check out his social media and follow the hashtag Snickers chain on social to see which player gets it each week throughout the season. That is it awarded to the league's hungriest player every week. That's Nick Chubb here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's go back to the phone lines right here. Shane in Boulder, Colorado has been hanging on forever. Let's take your call, Shane. What's going on? You there, Shane? Line two there, Jason. What's up, Shane?
Yeah, doing good. One, got two things to say. I'll make it quick and fast.
You bet.
One, I definitely don't want to get blown out as a Notre Dame fan again against Alabama in the playoffs, so I'll definitely lose close. Do not want to get blown out. As a Bears fan, do not want to get blown out by the Packers, so I don't agree with just getting blown out. I would rather it be close, 110%. Blowouts are worse.
Mm-hmm.
My answer, the reason I called in today is I think I'm done watching the NFL.
Don't say that, Shane. You don't believe it. You don't believe
it. The stats say it for themselves.
What are they saying?
Last year, in 2019, there was 1,207. I did all the stats myself. 1,276 sacks last year.
Okay.
All right. For them to make the sacks up this year,
mm-hmm.
they have to have 85.6 sacks a week to even get close to that. Every team.
Okay.
A week has to get 85.6 sacks a week to get close to that 1,276. I played defense 7 years of my life.
Okay.
And to see that the NFL refs are not calling holding calls, and it's proven because Aaron Donald came out and said last week he's not getting as many sacks because he's getting held every play almost.
I mean, you could call it. It's kind of like, I know, it's kind of like hacking in basketball. Like, you could call it on every play, I imagine. And, you know, and I don't know if this is any different than any other time, but Shane, I got to be honest, somebody who's like tallying up all the sacks and then doing the math, I don't think you can quit football because football can't quit you, Shane.
I love football, man. I love football. And I played defense 7 years of my life. And to see them not call, I mean, I understand not calling every, but it's half like, they're half, like, if you look up the stats, they're calling half the penalties they did last year on holding calls. Half of them. Half. And they're like, it's got to be blatant calls. Okay, understandable. Why didn't that line judge last night call that intentional grounding on Carson Wentz? Like, that was the most blatant intentional grounding. Like, that was 3 yards behind the line. You see the line judge look to the left and be like, yeah, no intentional grounding. Like, what?
No, I hear you. And I appreciate the call, Shane. Thank you. Call back and, you know, I'm sure he'll hopefully not give up on football.
You know what's not going to happen? Shane stopping.
I don't know. Maybe he will. I'll say
they
this,
did
go
holding a lot last year.
You and Tom Brady even said, I'm done watching it. Yeah. He was about to pull a Shane in Colorado, and he's the GOAT. We've done this show 6+ years now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Shane in Colorado is the first one to call in and say, well, I want more holding calls. That's a first.
That's a first.
Do the show enough, it's completely new.
Aaron Donald does lead the NFL in sacks. He does have 10, which seems kind of low through 12 weeks.
He is so amazing. He's your defensive player of the year, I think. He and TJ Watt, up for grabs. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, but that's it.
I mean, it would have been Myles Garrett, but he's been out. It was the three
Myles
of
Garrett
them.
Activated off the COVID list, so he will be back.
Okay, very good.
Aaron Donald wins Defensive Player of the Year. That wraps up Hall of Fame for
Hold on a minute. Don just said there's news on this game in my ear. Please tell me that they didn't call it off, did they?
Oh, I haven't seen
it. Oh, Myles Garrett is coming back. I got it. Oh, here comes the Cleveland Browns. It's just in time for Myles Garrett and Derrick Henry. Come on now. This is a really big, important football game. Cleveland goes to 9-3 to beat the team that wound up close to last year's Super Bowl. This is a great measuring stick game. There's a lot of them for Cleveland. And then get right games. Baltimore. That's one quick way to get right from week one.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. They want to beat them by the same tally. I want to beat them up. I'm excited for Cleveland Browns fans. I'm so excited. Good for you guys and ladies. I don't see the trapdoor. I don't see it. They can run the ball. Quarterback's not turning it over. Olivier Vernon and now Myles Garrett and coming back. These are legit players.
Playoffs start today. Cleveland goes to Buffalo.
Baby.
I'm not a Browns fan, but I'd like to see a team that's been bad for so long finally, like, make some noise.
Cleveland, Buffalo, you know what makes me think of? I'll be honest, man. Growing up, thinking of Bob Trumpy calling that game with Emberg.
Great call.
Trumpy.
Great call.
Trumpy. Browns, Bills. Let's get Trumpy.
In the snow.
Yeah, man. Ahmad, they should ask Ahmad Rashad to do the sidelines that game. Let's go.
Co-star against Kelly.
Don Cricky on a call.
Don Cricky. Now you're talking.
Let's get Cricky on a call, man.
Now you're
man.
Talking my language.
That's, yeah,
old
baby.
Old school NBC.
Here we go. Cricky on the call.
1 p.m.
First, I'll tell you this quick story, and then we'll get to David Boreanaz. We'll get to break. Cricky was the Pete Rozelle Award winner the first time I went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the summer of 2003 before NFL Network launched. We went to the Hall of Fame, and I went there. Eric Weinberger was there, and I think another member of our production team was there just to introduce ourselves. We got a whole bunch of people saying, what is NFL Network? Mm-hmm. I'm like, just you wait.
They know now.
But anyway, Don Cricky was giving the speech at the awards ceremony that I've been now, I have no idea at the time that I would now be hosting in a year in, year out basis. So honored to do it, the jacket dinner.
It's a great night.
Okay. So anyway, the reason I'm telling you, Cricky gave a great speech. Don Cricky gave a great speech. I'll never forget the joke that he told, is that he watches tape all the time. And he loves the sport so much. His wife walks into his office. He's watching tape and she goes, yeah, you know what? I think you love football more than you love me. And he goes, no, but I do love you more than hockey. Fantastic. Don Cricky, everybody. All right, let's take a break. David Boreanaz coming up.
Boreanaz.
Kind enough to keep this call and this moment intact. Coming off that Monday night game for his Philadelphia Eagles. We'll have a great chat with David Boreanaz, star of SEAL Team, coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Fun show so far. Ron Jaworski, Eagles great, joining us here on the show to talk about what we saw last night. Mina Kimes, talk about what we saw last night on the Seattle Seahawks end of things, and also her helping David Chang, the chef, win $1 million for charity. And who wants to be a millionaire, to use the phrase from, remember that? Nice. From Slumdog Millionaire.
That was a great movie.
Jeremy Schapp is going to be calling in. Friend, you know. And then Nick Chubb, we just hung up with the Cleveland Brown. 8-3. You know, if he gets a few more carries than normal, excuse me, he will be in line for the rushing title.
He is sixth. He's got a little over 700 yards.
Yeah, I know. So he's got to keep going, though.
But he's only played 7 games.
Hey, Chris, outside of football.
So he's third in yards per game.
Right.
Outside of football, like, who would, what would be your area of expertise?
We're back here on our radio network. But what do you think?
Good question. My area of expertise on, yeah, like, on Millionaire?
Let's just take football out of the equation for you and Rich. Like, what would be the one thing that you'd be like, call me, I know this?
Maybe American history.
Yeah?
Yeah, it could be American history.
How about you, Rich?
Everything, man, because I know everything. Yeah. I mean, I've got my name is on a show and a mug and shirts. Of course I'm full of myself.
Masks that we can't get.
So our
this
next guest.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate that. Our next guest is a return guest. I just love his passion for football and his passion for this great show, SEAL Team. He loves everything about this show. He lives it. He breathes it. He has studied it. And he's also directing part one of the 2-hour premiere of season 4 of SEAL Team that airs tomorrow on CBS at 9 Eastern time. He is David Boreanaz. How are you, David?
I'm good, Rich. I got a bone to pick with you, man.
Uh-oh. All right. Uh-oh. Let's start with bone picking. What do you got?
Okay. you know, run, Rich, run.
Yes.
The, you know, the amazing work that you're doing.
I saw what you did. I've put it on
Twitter.
I got
no love.
Oh, no.
Rich,
no. I put that.
I ran in full gear for
you. I saw that, and I put it on my Twitter feed. We put it on our Twitter feed here.
Okay. You know, I didn't see it. Okay.
I made sure they put it on NFL Network. You're a busy man. I know you're not watching all 19 million hours of NFL Network coverage, but I greatly appreciated that. No doubt. I mean, you did. You said last time you were here in person, yes, pre-pandemic, you said, yes, when you do your run, I'm going to put on the full gear and run, and you did it. I mean, yeah, how much weight were you?
Those
there,
gear,
David,
you know, they usually have. They, those guys are strapped in 120, 140 pounds.
Oh, gosh.
Usually, that's what they usually have on. Mm-hmm. And that's going through conditions, whether you're swimming through it or mucking through it. So I had probably about 40 pounds
Damn.
On.
Damn.
40, 50 pounds.
And you clocked, I think, still faster than what I did with just only the weight of the pressure on my back, pretty much.
And it was actually, I did that before we started shooting this season premiere, which we ended up into shooting in the snow in Big Bear and with the dog. So that was kind of training with the dog.
Yeah.
So you kind of kicked off the whole training and with the dog, with Dita, in order to get her ready for this great episode that's coming out tomorrow night.
Fantastic. David Boreanaz is here on the Rich Eisen Show. And since we are buried the so-called bone to pick, let me create a new one by asking you that since this premiere was shot months ago, it is not true that episode that you directed is to get the SEAL team to get Carson Wentz out of the starting lineup. That's correct, right?
Everyone's going to just ask about that. I think Philadelphia has just been in a world of hurt for a couple of years now after winning a Super Bowl and putting up statues at the NovaCare Center has been great and all, but I don't think that they have really fully drafted the right players to support Carson Wentz. I mean, you can argue this back and forth. It's just weird to me that you draft a quarterback like Jalen Hurts in the second round, and there's Carson Wentz saying, "What do I have to prove myself again?" And, you know, you kind of have that kind of monkey on your back kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. I can understand where he's coming from. It's kind of like, hey, Bravo 1, you got Bravo 2 is going to come in and replace you. He's just in the wings waiting. But I affect him as an athlete. He should kind of thrive in that type of competition when it comes to being the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I mean, look what the numbers he's putting up. Like, it's pretty crazy. So then you have to dig deeper and go, well, is this a coaching thing? And, you know, where's the offensive coordinator, right? I mean, I just think Philadelphia's been going around about it the wrong way as far as their direction is concerned. I mean, that team partied for a year after they won the Super Bowl. It was a lot of champagne being sprayed every day, and rightfully so. I mean, they were the champs. But did Howie do justice? Is there a front office conflict with Doug Peterson? It's like you kind of see it all in the writing right now. And as we as fans, or as you as, you know, in the media and reports, you just kind of have to put out your two cents. And in Philadelphia, it doesn't help, especially this morning on WIP. I think they were saying, you know, Carson Wentz is feeling like, you know, there's rumors going around that he doesn't like Jalen Hurts and they shouldn't have picked him in the second round. I mean, that's just typical Philadelphia, right? That's typical Philadelphia right there at its best.
I'll be honest. If Wentz does, and I don't believe it, that if Wentz does have a problem with a draft choice, you know, it's got to be, I don't like being critical of younger players, but it's got to be, instead of taking Justin Jefferson, who has crushed it for the Minnesota Vikings, they took Jalen Reagor, who's, you know, was banged up, and they're still waiting for him to provide some sort of spark like this. And, you know, I'm just wondering if Wentz, David Boreanaz, and we'll talk about SEAL team in a second. It seems to me, I'm wondering if Wentz, you know, out of all the narratives of last year, going into last year, as you know, it was like, can Wentz get through a season? Because it had been two seasons in a row where he had not finished. And without Foles there now as the backup, is Wentz gonna be brittle? And everybody got hurt around him, and he answered the bell for all 16 weeks, got the team to the playoffs, right? And and I'm wondering if that didn't absorb so many hits in his body that we're seeing diminishing returns this year with everything else counting against them. I'm wondering if that might have something to do with it. I'm grasping at straws here.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, look, he played last night, so he ran the ball a couple times, and he was pretty straight up and taking on the defender pretty hard. So he was pretty mobile. His offensive line's, you know, decimated, been moved around a lot. Jason Peters, what, has a broken toe.
I know.
Playing with broken toe. You know, Johnson's been struggling. You know, you have Zach Ertz has been out. I mean, so there's a lot of pieces there. We don't have any linebackers, per se. I mean, we have Darius Slay that we picked up, so that was a good pickup, but DJ Metcalf just smoked him last night. So, you know, there's another player, like DJ Metcalf was available. Philly passed on him. So there's you can see the players that are bearing fruit right now, and then the players that aren't, and that the ones that Philadelphia have. And on top of it, like, run the ball. You have a great running back, and for some reason, Doug Peterson just is not committing to the run, and his choices last night on fourth down were bad. I mean, it's just kind of like a coach that wants to get fired in a lot of ways. I mean, you look at it and go, wow, does this guy really want to – is he getting along with you know, Jeff Lurie and the front office and Howie? I mean, you know, we don't know that, but we can only assume. And in Philadelphia, they want answers. They don't want people that lose. And when it gets consistent like this, it gets cold, and they get upset. They're not allowed back in the link. You know, that's an issue. So, you know, Philly is tough, and that's just the way they are. And when you play with Philly – or you're under that organization, you just got to expect that. And you got to have tough skin to play, whether it's in Philadelphia or New York, and go through the ups and downs. And they're in a down spout right now. And for all sakes and purposes, the whole NFC East is, like, ridiculously soft. Although I do like Washington. I think the Redskins are going to win the NFC East.
The old football team, you know, getting it done over the Thanksgiving holiday. And you know, it's interesting. I did read an article. I forgot who wrote it in the Philadelphia Inquirer, wondering if Peterson wants to get fired. I saw that. That was way out there in the Philadelphia media. That was part of the backdrop of this game on Monday.
That's what they do. You know, you're out in Philadelphia, then you're always going to get that cheesesteak late night. And once you're past 12 o'clock and you get that cheesesteak, especially in the winter, the ketchup gets cold, starts freezing on the tip of the Amoroso bread. The times come out. There's a problem. The unions get upset.
I love it. When was the last time, really, though? I mean, you've got to be in shape for SEAL Team. When was the last time you did have one of those late night
cheesesteaks?
Yeah.
Probably about a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was during the summer, so ketchup was nice and warm.
Okay. And I guess, is it Whiz Wit or Whiz Without for you?
Oh, Whiz Wit. Okay. You got the roll, provolone, Whiz.
Just want to make sure. Okay.
And onions, yeah. It's definitely, but there's plenty of, you know, whatever. Cheesesteaks are prevalent right now. It's wherever you go. It's the only consistent thing in Philadelphia going down right
now. David Boreanaz here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what to expect out of season 4? And again, this is real stuff, man.
Yeah.
I know you take pride in the personal and professional lives of these great members of SEAL Team that you're bringing to CBS. Go for it. I'll give you the floor.
Well, excited. I mean, you know, with tomorrow's kicks off in a way that we see Jason Hayes and Bravo One on top of a mountain going after the son of a major terrorist that he killed 13 years ago. So it kind of messes with his head, and he gets separated from the team and the dog. The two of them have to kind of survive, a little Revenant feel to it. And in doing so, through the survival aspect of it with the dog who's wounded, he starts having flashbacks and PTSD moments of his past, and we have some flashbacks. So we ended the episode with him on the mountainside with a dog and a lot of pain, and we don't know who makes it off that mountaintop. So it's an exciting start to our episode, thinking that it was going to be the season finale for last year, but then because of COVID, we had to wait. So it becomes our premiere for this year, which production value is huge, shooting in Big Bear, real snow, real elements, wide-angle lenses. It's just as awesome. And Jimmy Muro, the DP, who just crushes it, Oscar winner, guy just is insane, and Chris Chulak, Spencer Hudnut writing. We just have a great group of guys telling stories that are really relevant and about these characters that, you know, strive to protect but also struggle so much inside internally when they come back home. And that's the story that we like to tell, getting into the dark corners of their minds and exposing that. And so people can see that, you know, they're worth more than what they do for us out there. And that's something we have to embrace more.
The real deal stuff. 2-hour season 4 premiere of SEAL Team. Again, airs tomorrow, 9 Eastern on CBS. Before I let you go, David, were you psyched about the Dodgers World Series win? Because we have a photograph here of you. We're looking at it on the screen right here. Ball boy back in the day. Are you next to, like, is that a Malfitano? Is that who you're next to, the pitching coach back in the day?
Yeah, I had on the Ronce glove.
Look at you, man.
I was in right field flagging fly balls with Fernando Valenzuela. Tried to get under one, lost it in the sun at the vet, and he was screaming at me.
So, but it looks like you're locked in, though. I don't know what you were staring at out the.
I was locked in. Well, I was more upset that my father hired a photographer to take pictures of me, being the fact that I didn't want to, you know, I kind of wanted to play it cool, you know? And I got him really embarrassed. I love the photograph to this day, but to this day I look back and I go, geez, I was so embarrassed.
Were you really? You're like, don't embarrass me in front of Garvey, Dad? Is that really what it was?
I can't do that as a vet. That's ridiculous. You gotta live the part, Rich.
Yeah.
You gotta go in. Even in eighth grade, I was living it, man. I had the pine tar. I had the dip. I am hanging out with Ronce and Fernando. Let's go.
You do look locked in there, but you're really a pissed off kid at his dad. I love that backstory. That is phenomenal. All right, before I let you go here, let's put it up here on the screen. We want to give you the love. We're showing it right now, David. There you are. There you are. Run, Rich, run. There's the dog, too.
There it is. Even the dog did it for you.
Right? Here you go, Rich. For St. Jude's Hospital and SEAL team.
There you go, brother. Thank you for that, David. It really meant a lot. I did see it.
I know you did. I love stirring the pot with you.
I love it.
That's what Philly guys do.
You take care, David. Thanks for the call. And we'll be checking out SEAL team. Again, the season 4 premiere tomorrow on CBS at 9 Eastern Time. That's David Boreanaz here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun stuff right there.
Awesome.
He's fun.
He's fun. And he's a diehard true fan.
I would absolutely hire a photographer to take pictures of my son. And I know my son would be pissed about photographs being taken of me.
But, I mean, he has that picture, though. So,
by the way, I do believe that was the name. Was it Joey Amalfitano? Did I name that right? I remember the old pitching coach for the Dodgers.
Joey Amalfitano.
I might have missed. I might have just absolutely botched it.
You did not.
Did I?
Joey Amalfitano.
Yeah.
He was Lasorda's pitching coach, right? For all those years.
Yes, sir.
I think that's who he was right next to him. Is that why I'd be your phone a friend? I don't know if
that's what I'm talking about.
I don't know if the question would be about Joey Amalfitano.
He's the third base coach for 16 years.
Third base. He wasn't the pitching coach. See, I'm wrong.
He also played.
He also played
54 to 67.
Look at Boreanaz. I'm like thinking he was a kid. He's just locked in, getting ready to be a ball boy, and he's pissed at dad because the photographer taking a picture. Look at the shoes too.
Get over it.
Dope that picture is, man.
It is great. That's great. Okay, we'll take a break. Come back. My phone a friend will phone up. Do you have questions for Jeremy? You got them all lined up? You got some lined up for him?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
All right. Shaquille O'Neal, Chippois, one of my favorites, joining us to wrap up this show on a Tuesday. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Hey everybody, the Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. Okay, we're back here. Our radio audience is rejoining us. I've got a great setup here, Chris. Okay, we have it. We don't have the graphics to walk people these questions of Jeremy Schapp. He will get them all right. I'm very confident of it.
Ooh.
Okay.
You didn't slip him the answers beforehand, did you?
Putting the pressure on.
Okay. I'm just saying he will get them all right.
Love it.
Okay. I'm fully confident. I love this man. I love him, and I think he's going to nail it. back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
I've got a good one right off the bat.
We had, okay, very good. Mina Kimes was on this show before. She just won $1 million, helped David Chang win $1 million. First ever celebrity and celebrity millionaire to win $1 million. She got the phone a friend right. He trusted her. He went for it, got $1 million. I asked you guys, who would you want to have as your phone a friend? Chris, you were kind enough to say me, but you'll see in a second, I'm a piker compared to this man. Honestly. Smartest guy I know is my brother, and the smartest guy I ever worked with is this guy. With all due respect to everyone else I've worked with.
He's one of a kind.
He's a diamond in the rough. He is my buddy who I love. His name is Jeremy Schapp. How are you, Jeremy? You there?
I'm very nervous right now, Richard.
There's no money on the line here.
There's a lot on the line after that.
It's just pride.
Preamble.
It's pride.
There's a lot of preamble, and I didn't know this was going to be a quiz. Okay. I didn't know this was going to be a quiz.
No, I think you'll be fine, Jeremy. Have you ever been asked to be a phone-a-friend for anybody at all?
Never.
It's never been?
Never.
You would be mine.
No.
You absolutely would be mine.
I appreciate that. Thank you. No, I'm jealous. What Mina got to do, that's like a dream.
That's like a dream come true.
And to nail it.
That's why I want you, because you want the pressure, Jeremy. You want the moment. You want the challenge. Would you have gotten the question that she nailed correctly? Do you know it? Did you know what she got?
I remember it was the electricity White House, and Benjamin Harrison was the correct answer, right?
Right, yes. Would you gotten that?
Yeah, my look, I could say whatever I want, right? When I heard it, my instinct was Harrison, but would I have stuck with it through all the pressure of 5 minutes of this and that? And then they like gave you like 50%, right?
No.
Did they go down? Did they like knock
off? No, they didn't do that. No.
You'd
have been the phone a friend. You would have had 30 seconds to give me an answer. You would have told me Harrison, right? Come on now, right? You would have.
As far as we know, I would have said
Okay. Now, I mentioned before that you're an expert at so many things. Vice Presidents of the United States, you know them, correct? You know them very, very well?
I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Good.
The succession of British royalty, you're very, very good at that. I've seen this in person, right?
Since the Battle of Hastings.
Okay.
And good on the sack.
And when the dollar bills had on the note, to use the phrase, letters associated with the Federal Reserve at which they were printed, you used to have those alphabetically arranged in your wallet, correct? Right?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, when they had those notations.
Okay. And to this day, you probably do remember which letters are associated with which Federal Reserve, correct, Jeremy?
I think so.
Okay, very good.
So. I haven't been asked in many years.
Okay.
Nevertheless.
I have a list.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, do you have a question you want to ask Jeremy Schapp?
Yeah, I was.
My phone a friend?
So, Jeremy, Benjamin Harrison, who was his vice president?
Oh, please.
Levi P. Morton.
Levi P. Morton, yes. Now, who was the only vice president to serve under two different presidents?
John C. Calhoun.
Maybe that's correct, but I have George Clinton.
There are two.
Okay, there
Clinton
you go.
Clinton and Calhoun. Clinton served under Jefferson and Madison. Calhoun
correct.
Served under Adams and Jackson.
Okay, very good. And
you were just asking for one. I didn't want to correct you.
No, you nailed it.
Okay, how about this one? Let's, Chris, I'm telling you, this is my phone a friend.
I get it.
Okay, this is my phone a friend.
Not only that, George Clinton. Hold on with it. George Clinton was vice president under both Jefferson and Madison. And when Madison ran for re-election in 1816, he defeated Clinton's, I believe, nephew, DeWitt Clinton. So it was kind of inter-family kind of thing going there.
Spiking the football now, which is wonderful. Okay, so now I've got one for you here. The tenth vice president of the United States was who, and his first name is the letter
John
for
Tyler.
You're right, and his letter is the first name for which Federal Reserve?
J is hold on. I said it was a long time. F is Atlanta. H is St. Louis. I is Minneapolis. J is Kansas City.
That's correct.
Wow.
Correct.
That is correct. And K, Kansas City starts with the letter K, which is the Federal Reserve for which other city?
Dallas.
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Come on.
This is my
phone-a-friend. Now, wait a minute. J James K. Polk's vice president. He was elected, of course, in 1844.
Yes.
His vice president was George M. Dallas. And it was around this time when Dallas actually was established. But the last time I checked, it's still uncertain, and I lived in Dallas for a couple of years, as you remember, Rich, whether Dallas is named for George M. Dallas or someone else. It's kind of unclear. It's one of the great questions, I think, of American geographical name origins.
Okay. You understand why I'm doing this, Chris? You understand why we're doing it? Jeremy? Honestly,
my leg's shaking. I'm so nervous. I feel like I'm
nervous. You haven't gotten anything incorrect. Do you want to do Chris? You have a Royals question for him. You want to call up the succession of British royalty? Because honestly, you're the guy, Jeremy. You're
the taxes, but I'm getting older.
No, you're not. You're absolutely
and the Danes.
Completely nailing this sort of thing.
I got one, Rich.
Okay, what do you got over there,
Vice President?
Okay,
who was the first Vice President, Jeremy, to become president without being elected?
Without being elected. So it would have been the first one when the president died in office. That would be the man we've already mentioned, John Tyler.
Survey says?
Yes.
Ding.
That's correct. Jeremy Schapp, everybody.
John Tyler, both the 10th president and the 10th vice president. And of course, as I'm sure you're aware, Rich, just within the last few weeks, one of his grandsons died. That's true, and he still has a living grandson. This is a man who was president almost 200 years ago, and he has a living grandson.
Whoa.
It's amazing. There was a story about Tyler's grandson, the remaining surviving grandson, I think in the Journal yesterday.
And watch
maybe
this
2 days ago.
And watch this turn. Watch this turn. Jeremy, what'd you think of Mike Tyson and Roy Jones? What'd you think of that one?
I refuse to watch. I refuse to watch. I would have, you know, usually I'm okay with being hypocritical, but I had said, I had done a number of commentaries like, this is ridiculous. Yep. We cannot encourage geriatric pugilism. And people said, yeah, but you're going to watch. I thought maybe I would fold, but I just fell asleep.
It was entertaining.
I would not have watched.
Okay.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I said in the commentary, I said, what, they couldn't get Dempsey and Tunney? I mean, this is ridiculous.
It really was quite something. You missed out. You missed Snoop with the call.
That's fine. I'll get a chance to watch it.
All right. So, you know the...
What, that's it? Give, you know, give me something else. Give me something with a... You know, I spent a lot of time over the years memorizing useless things and literally appearing on the Rich Eisen show is the only time I ever get to use it, because now everybody's got a computer in their pocket.
I know that. So I guess I don't. Where would I even find the succession of British royalty? Do you have it up there, Chris? In front of you?
I'm looking up obscure British royalty trivia.
Okay.
Apparently, they're not allowed to play Monopoly.
That I did not know.
Why? Because they have a monopoly on everything else? Like, is that what it is? I don't know.
The queen has someone break in her shoes for her.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. I did not know. All right. So,
no, it's strictly chronological, the succession, William the First up through Elizabeth the Second in order. That's what I know.
Okay. Well,
My knowledge is broad, but not deep.
Well, how did they get the name Windsor?
Nothing to do with
Jeremy, why do they go by Windsor now?
Well, they chose Windsor because they were Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, that became inconvenient during the Great War when they were fighting against Germany. And you know, after George I became king upon the death of Queen Anne in, I believe, 1714, you know, they were always considered kind of interlopers from Germany. And 200 years later, with the Great War, they didn't want to be called Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. They'd been... Hanover, of course, under the Georges of William the Fourth, and then when Victoria was queen, she married Albert, who was also German, and so they didn't want to be Saxe-Coburg-Gotha anymore. It sounded too dramatic, so they adopted the name of the castle, Windsor.
Did they get that right, Chris?
Checks out.
Wow.
God bless you, Jeremy Schapp. I love that diamond in between your temples.
This is like what I've lived my whole life for.
Oh, hold on a second. I just got emailed the line of succession. I'm going to have you do it, and then we will.
Okay.
Actually, is this the current? Is this the current top 10? Is that what it is? Because do you know the current one, or you just know the history?
I could figure that out. I'm talking about, you know, who has been the monarch since 1066 and a little bit before, because Edward the Confessor was monarch for like 30 years before that, then Harold Hardrada, then William the First. But if you're talking about who are the 10 people in line now,
yes.
I mean, I could figure that out. And obviously, it's first Charles, and obviously it's second William, then it's his three kids, then it's Harry, and then it would
I don't know anymore.
To, Harry has a kid, so Harry's kid, Harry has one child, right? So it would be Harry's kid, and then you would go back to the monarchs.
I think you're right. I think you're right on all this.
I get a little confused because they changed it. It used to be the male. You know, the male always superseded the female, but they changed that in recent years. But I don't know if that's retroactive. So honestly, I don't know if Anne is now ahead of Andrew and Edward.
By the way, this is the worst lineup card ever. I think Enrico Palazzo would throw out this lineup card. All right, so last one, Chris. You've got an Olympics
Jeremy,
one?
One more. A pentathlon question. Which pentathlete?
You know I love the modern pentathlon.
Obviously. Which pentathlete has the
most...
Are
we talking about the modern pentathlon, or are we talking about the regular pentathlon?
The modern pentathlon. Which Olympic athlete, pentathlete, has the most Olympic medals in the event?
No idea. I'm going to guess that it's some...
It's Pavel Lednev of the USSR. Between 68 and 80, he won 7.
All right, Jeremy, sadly, you're no longer my phone-a-friend. It's over.
Damn it.
You got everything up to this point. Actually, here you go. We can't end on that note.
I know. I feel bad now.
Who are both vice presidents for Ulysses S. Grant before you go out the door?
His first vice president was Schuyler Colfax.
That's correct.
And his second vice president was Henry Wilson.
Thank you, Jeremy. That's called a walk-off. You may drop your phone.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Right back at you. Thank you, Jeremy Shepp. Love you,
bye.
Too. Yeah.
See you,
buddy. Rich, I'm going to need his number just in case I get home with the
issues. I'm telling you.
Now I feel bad for giving him
that's my phone friend.
I want him to be my phone friend now.
Susie and I, along with... Reed Bentley Bergman went on vacation with him, and basically, whenever we got bored waiting for Reed to get ready, we ordered the food and waiting for it to come to the table, we would just basically have Jeremy entertain us with this sort of stuff.
Parlor tricks.
We would sit there and go, "All right, what do you got? What do you this? What about that?" That's how we would. That's how we would get through the time.
I should have asked him this one about the pentathlon.
That was amazing.
This person was the last person to leave the honeymoon suite in the post-wedding party for Rich and Susie. Finally sent him home so the husband and wife could,
consummate?
No.
Go to sleep?
No.
Enjoy some alone
time. The answer is Jeremy Shepp.
He was the last guy there?
Get out, Jeremy. It's time for you to go.
Like a 4-hour Jewish goodbye.
Love that man. Oh, my gosh. I want to thank Ron Jaworski, Mina Kimes, Nick Chubb, and David Boreanaz. On tomorrow's show, it's our Kyle Brandt Wednesday, correct?
Indeed it is.
All right, so we got Kyle Brandt. On Thursday's show, we also have Jed York's going to be joining us. Brian Cranston will also join us on tomorrow's edition of The Rich Eisen Show, one of our all-time favorites. So for all of you listening to us on our radio networks, we will send you to your next show and chat with you on Wednesday, getting you ready for the Ravens and Steelers then. But we're back on Peacock in a second. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.